Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Coming up on the show, we talk to Craig Hemke of TF Metal's Report. But first, as always, let's hear from Stacy. She's got the hottest headlines of the day.
Right, Max. You know, the people out there cannot say we have not warned them. And in another year or two or three from now, we'll point you back to this episode of Double Down and say, you see, we told you again, we give you one last chance. We told you now is probably one of the last times that you can get some gold, silver, Bitcoin, any of the precious metals, anything to protect you from central bankers because they have gone mad. And I have some proof, their own words, Max. Here's the first one. Fed's Williams says in a downturn, we could consider quantitative easing negative rates. So this is from the U.S. Federal Reserve. And they're warning that the next downturn, we could consider negative rates. Also this past week, the European Central Bank basically started another round of quantitative easing or announced that they're going to not raise rates for the rest of the year as people were expecting them to raise rates by the end of the year. And they've started another LTR sort of program, RTO program. And Draghi actually said this, that negative rates have been quite successful.
Well, a couple of things there. So first of all, you know, the idea, the fact is that interest rates have been looser and looser and looser for 30 years in one way or another. And but you see, fear trumps faith. Fear gets people to act much more aggressively and instantaneously than faith, you know, flight or fight. And so the central banks around the world have threatened to raise rates for 25 years now while lowering rates. But that talk, that chatter when they go and make their congressional testimony is enough to prevent markets from collapsing. Okay, that brings us to negative interest rates. So they've lowered rates now for 25 years, and you still have this, let's call it a $100 trillion Ponzi scheme that is set to blow and take every major bank down with it. So to feed the Ponzi scheme, now they're going to go into negative rates, which means that the Fed will deduct 3% a year out of your account, and they'll give it to like Deutsche Bank or JP Morgan. So this is, if you say, hey, that sounds like feudalism, then you'd be right. This is a neo-feudalism. And the negative interest rates that are being referred to, there's $9 trillion of these bonds that have been issued with a negative rate, and it did not yet crash the economy because the effects are masked behind the overall layers and layers and layers of fraud that still dominate our total global financial system. But I don't think they're going to work so great when people actually get them bail-ins, as they're called, when the money is actually, as we saw in Cyprus, where the money is siphoned out of your personal account and given to Jamie Dimon because he's considered, quote, systemically important, which in feudal days, he would have the divine right of kings. And then we had the Bill of Rights, we had the Renaissance, we had the Enlightenment, and we said, no, nobody has divine rights. We're going to give everybody equal rights. And then Jamie Dimon and the bankers came around and said, no, we actually have divine rights. That's what justifies us taking your money. And so we're back to those days again.
Well, there is no better person to talk to about this than Craig Hemke of TFMetalsReport.com. Craig, the ECB says that negative interest rates are actually working quite well, they say. Do you believe them? And is it coming to the United States?
Well, hi, guys. Thanks for having me on again. And yeah, it's working quite well for the banks, right? Even here in the U.S., where they started to increase the Fed funds rate, and the banks have increased mortgage rates, and they've increased credit card rates. They're not paying anything out to savers. Seniors are still just getting pillaged. I even had a money market account that I had to open for a short period of time. I did this maybe 3 weeks ago. The rate on the money market account is 30 basis points. And I'm thinking, I guess you guys get the rest, right? Yeah, negative rates work very well for banks. That's why they're coming again. That's what the ECB noted a couple of days ago. And the Fed is going to be cutting as well. We, you know, last time we did one of these podcast was back in November, and we were talking about this then, and it's all coming to pass. They tried to withdraw some liquidity in the fourth quarter. The stock market crashed. The Fed instantly reversed. The ECB always talked about reversing. And then, of course, they didn't even get that far. And now they're starting QE again. And I think anybody that's paying attention and doing so objectively can sure see what's coming now. We're headed right down the same path that we were headed in 2009, 10, 11. And that means good news for Bitcoin. That means good news for gold, silver, mining shares, and the rest.
Okay, so the big propaganda machine are kicking in because they know that as keeping the Ponzi scheme alive and keeping all this money printing going, they got to vilify and demonize gold. A recent article in the New Statesman says that gold is something only admired by the far right. Your response?
What isn't politicized now? You know, I think what, Mother's Day? I mean, can we all agree, left and right, that moms are okay? I'm sure, you know, there's probably some mom privilege out there that has to be extorted politically. All of a sudden, sound money is a left-right issue as well, which is sad. But, you know, that's kind of where all of this is headed. You know, ever since this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez led this new wing of whatever they Democrat socialists or socialist Democrats, whatever they're called, this Green New Deal began to be part of the lexicon. And then with that, suddenly this arcane kind of fringe notion of what they call modern monetary theory has been shoved to the forefront. It showed up in my Twitter line suddenly in January. And I was like, what? Why all of a sudden are we talking about this? Well, you connect the dots. Modern monetary theory is along the lines like Keynesianism on steroids. You know, instead of guns or butter, you can have guns, butter, healthcare, universal income, anything you want. We'll just print the money. It's fine. And that seems to be the direction that we're headed, not toward any kind of sound money. And since that whole, I guess we'll call it kind of a socialist modern monetary theory agenda is, I guess that's political as well. Now all of a sudden sound money has to be demonized and made political too. It's unfortunate, but it's the times that we live in.
Actually, let's go along with that whole politicalization of it, because what is the case for the left for sound money? Because the fact is, as Max pointed out, we've had money getting cheaper and cheaper for the last 25, 30 years. It's been a bull market for over 30 years in bonds. So money is getting cheaper. It's everywhere. There's an abundance of it. And yet the average worker, the person who has to work for a living and create value for a living, they have been getting poorer and poorer relative to the rest of, you know, the economy, relative to those people who get the free money first from the Fed. So, I mean, it's quite clear to me. It seems self-evident that this system has actually undermined the actual well-being of the bottom 99%. So why would sound money, why should some guy $30,000-$40,000 a year income, why would sound money make sense for him or her?
Actually, I'd encourage anybody to do some of this research online. You can trace all of this back, this wealth disparity, the income disparity, all these gaps that have opened, you know, between the 1% and the 99%, as people say. It all traces back to 1971, where the U.S. had been tied to some sound money policies since the end of World War II. But in 1971, Nixon closed the gold window, as they say, removed the convertibility of the dollar into gold and just said, you know, screw it. We can't afford all these wars like Vietnam. We can't afford the social programs of war on poverty. We got to have all of it. And so we're just going to start printing fiat currency, devaluing the currency, devaluing everybody's accumulated savings. And that has been the driving factor behind the income and wealth disparity that we've seen develop over the last 45, almost 50 years. And so, sound money clearly is the best return. That's the best path forward, is to get back to something like that, to reverse all of those trends. But you got to actually be a thinking person, you know, to see that. It's much easier to just simply be emotional and say, oh, well, you know, it's much better just to print a whole bunch of money and hand it out to people, when that's the exact opposite of what we've seen being effective. Quantitative easing, all these trillions of currency that the central banks have printed over the last 10 years. Look at how that has exacerbated everything. And so the solution is just to simply do that even more. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. But politically, it sounds appealing to the masses, and therefore, those are the policies you get.
Well, Craig, you know, you can monkey around so much, and then markets revert to the mean. Gold market is starting to picky up and looking good on the charts. What do we have to look forward to in the next year or two? Smells like a bullish sentiment to me, Craig.
It sure does, Max. And anything that is an alternative, and I'd say Bitcoin is like this too, anything that's an alternative to the dollar is going to be rallying in the months and years ahead. I've written, and you and I have discussed this the last time I was on Kaiser Report, about how 2019 looks and feels a lot like 2010, in that in 2010, we were coming out of the financial crisis. There were all these stories about green shoots. Remember that? The economy rising from the ashes. And in fact, second quarter of 2010, GDP was just north of 3%. And everybody thought, hey, we're fine. You know, QE was a one-off. They're not monetizing debt, you know, all that kind of stuff. By the end of 2010, it was clear the economy was slowing back down. We got QE2. We had loss of confidence in the dollar, which was an extension of loss of confidence that the central bankers had any idea what they were doing. And now they promoted that and kind of pieced it all together. And other currencies have been weaker than the dollar over the last 4 or 5 years. And that has kind of helped keep the commodities and gold and silver down. But now, as we head into 19, again, it's a similar situation. The economy's slowing. You got all this political discord, just like we had in 2011 with the budget debt ceiling and all that kind of stuff, and S&P downgrading the U.S. I mean, we're running into that again over the next 30 or 60 days. And all of this begins to resemble that period of 2010-11. The big difference this time is the Fed kind of got a do-over, in a sense, in that they ran all those QE programs and then said, hey, look, see, everything's fine. We're going to normalize rates. We're going to tighten up the balance sheet, all that kind of stuff. And they held that carrot out there, telling everybody that's where we're headed. Well, now, you know, the tide is going out, right? Let's use that metaphor. The metaphor, the emperor has no clothes. People are figuring out, wait a second, you said we were normalizing. You said this was all a one-off, and we're not going to be fooled a second time by this. And so as the charade and the illusion collapses here in 2019, I don't think there's going to be any turning back this time. And so people need to prepare now, because as gold rallies and silver rallies and Bitcoin rallies, people are going to say, well, I'll just wait for the next dip. And then it's going to go higher, and they're going to say, I should have bought the last dip. I'll wait for the next dip. And then you miss out on everything. So looking forward, looking ahead, anybody can see how these dots connect. The time is now to be accumulating so that you don't get, I guess we'll say, left behind and end up chasing.
Okay, we only have 2 minutes left, so I want to turn to palladium and platinum, because those are unusual at the moment. Palladium is trading at well over the price of gold. It's at 1500 and something. Platinum is down in the 800s. What's going on?
Well, I want to mainly focus in the remaining time we have on palladium, because we've spoken about that before. The digital derivative, the fractional reserve paper markets that price gold and silver are set up the exact same way in palladium. And it relies upon promissory notes and unallocated accounts and leases and all that kind of stuff. And what we're seeing in London, particularly in palladium, is a true physical shortage. And that's what's driving it higher. It's not a speculative bubble. It's not a bunch of COMEX traders and hedge funds. It's a true physical shortage. You see it in the lease rates and you see it in the backwardation of the prices. If that continues, we're eventually going to run out of physical palladium. It's going to crash these markets and expose them for what they are. And the hope, at least on my end, is that leads people to connect the dots and go, well, wait a second, if palladium's a big fraud the way they price it, gold and silver might be too. And that could very much add to the secret sauce of where this year is headed.
Palladium. It's not just a disco in New York City in the 1970s. Well, that's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. I'd like to thank our guest, Craig Hemke of TFMetalsReport.com. Fascinating discussion about palladium. It could be the trigger for an entire price discovery for all these precious metals being rigged by paper short selling and other market rigging shenanigans. Terrible stuff. Anyway, thanks, Craig Hemke of TFMetalsReport.com. Until next week, bye, y'all.